qualche colore in campo. Okay. Hare Krishna. So then you can have the harmony? Yeah.
Hare Krishna. I feel very happy to be here today. Whenever I come to Bombay, I look forward to my visit to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. During my last few visits, I haven't been able to come here for various unforeseen reasons, like during one of my last visits, I was supposed to come here in the morning. I was supposed to come here one Sunday, but that morning we received the unfortunate news of Sridhar Maharaj's passing away, and I had to go back to Mayapur straight away from Juhu Temple. And also, generally I don't really look forward to coming here when Radhanath Maharaj is not here. So I try to make it a point that I would come here only when Radhanath Maharaj is here. But the other day I spoke to Radhanath Maharaj, and when he got to know that I was coming to Bombay, Maharaj told me that I must come to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. So I was kind of ordered by Maharaj to come, and I feel duty bound, and I feel very happy to be here with you in your midst. Actually, it's so inspiring to see so many of you. So wonderfully committed to Krishna consciousness. And this is what inspires me the most when I come to this temple, that how Krishna consciousness is spreading in such a wonderful way. And this also makes one point very, very clear, one thing very clear, that people will become Krishna conscious when they get the right kind of direction, right kind of instructions and guidance. And when I see you, I actually see Radhanath Maharaj's wonderful spiritual potency, Radhanath Maharaj's very, very exalted spiritual position. And that is actually the sign of an advanced devotee. The sign of an advanced devotee is in how people become inspired to accept the process of Krishna consciousness just by coming in contact with him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also made this point that those who chant the name of Krishna occasionally, they have been classified as the neophyte devotees or third class devotees. Those who chant the holy name all the time, they are the second class devotees. But just by coming in contact or just by seeing when people start to chant the holy name of the Lord, they are the first class devotees. So the sign of a first class devotee is that by seeing him, by coming in contact with him, people start to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is, just by coming in contact with him, they become so inspired that they accept the process of Krishna consciousness and become devotees themselves. And just by seeing you all, I get to recognize Radhanath Maharaj's very, very exalted spiritual position. And I can tell you that you all are very fortunate to come in contact with such a wonderful devotee. You're very fortunate to be guided by such a wonderful devotee. And you're very fortunate that you have accepted the guidance of such a wonderful devotee. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. And Radha Krishna Prabhu asked me, I was asking Radha Krishna Prabhu, what should I do first? And he told me that I should sing some bhajan. And then we were considering which bhajan to sing. And so he suggested two songs, Radha Krishna Pranamor and Tava Kathamritam. So anyway, now I get to from your response, I also could understand which one I should sing.
You want to say something? Let us all very enthusiastically welcome His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj by loudly chanting.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Lalita Vishakha Devi ki. Sri Sri Srinath ji ki. Sri Sri Gaur Nithai ki. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Kathamritam tapta jivanam kobibhiriritam kalmashapaham. Tabo kathamritam tapta jivanam kobibhiriritam kalmashapaham. Shravana Mangala Shrimadatata Bhubi Grinanti
ये भूरिलाजना श्रवणमंगला श्रीमदाता भूविग्रीनान्ते ये भूरिलाजना श्रवणमंगला श्रीमदाता भूविग्रीनान्ते ये भूरिलाजना तबो कथामृतं तप्त जीवनं कोविभिरीरितं कल्मषापः जयतीते धिका जन्मना ब्रज श्रयत इंदिरा शाश्वदत्र हि जयतीते धिका जन्मना ब्रज श्रयत इंदिरा शाश्वदत्र हि द्वैत दृश्यता दिक्षुतावका द्वैधृता शवा तं विचिन्नते द्वैत दृश्यता दिक्षुतावका द्वैधृता शवा तं विचिन्नते कथामृतं तप्त जीवनं को बिभीरीता कल्मषापः শরদুদাশয়ে সাধু জাতসা সরসিজোদর শ্রীমুষাদৃশা শরদুদাশয়ে সাধু জাতসা সরসিজোদর শ্রীমুষাদৃশা সুরতনাথতে শুকদাশিকা বরদনিঘ্নাত নেহ কিংবদ পুরাতনাথতে শুকদাশিকা বরদনিঘ্নাত নেহ কিংবদ তব কথামৃতা তপ্ত জীবনা কবিভীরীরিতা কল্মষাপহ কথামৃতা তপ্ত জীবনা কবিভীরীরিতা কল্মষাপহ শ্রবণমঙ্গলা শ্রীমদাতা ভুবি গৃণান্তি Jibhuri Rajana. Vigrinanti Jibhuri Dajana Bhuvigrinanti Jibhuri Dajana Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tabu kathamrita tapta jivana kobi bhirita kalma shafaha. Shravana Mangala Srimadatata Bhubi Grinanti Je Bhuri Dajana. Grinanti je bhuri dajana. Bhuri grinanti je bhuri dajana.
These are the few chapters, few stanzas from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, from the 31st chapter of the 10th canto. This particular chapter is entitled as the Gopi Gita, the Gopi's song of separation. And this particular verse, Tava Kathamritam, is actually the 9th verse of that chapter. But we sing this one first, because this particular stanza, this particular verse, bears a very special significance to us. Because this verse quite directly speaks about Srila Prabhupada's glory. Now that's what I thought I would discuss now. The background of this chapter of the 10th canto is that Krishna called the gopis on a moonlit night, on a full moon night of the Sharad season in Vrindavan, by playing his flute. And as soon as they heard Krishna's flute, all the gopis just came rushing to meet Krishna. They were naturally engaged in different activities, but they just dropped all their activities, no matter how important those activities may have been. Like some were cooking, they just stopped cooking and came running out of the kitchen. Some were dressing themselves, they stopped dressing. Some were even half dressed, like they didn't even properly put on their garments, put on their clothes, and they just couldn't continue even dressing themselves, and they just ran to meet Krishna. Some were attending their elderly superiors. They just dropped that service without even asking them to be excused. They just ran away to meet Krishna. Some were attending their husbands. They just left their husbands and went to meet Krishna. Some were even attending their children. They were taking care of their children. They even dropped their children and ran to meet Krishna. So in this way we can see how intensely these cowherd girls of Vrindavan were attached to Krishna, and how irresistible was Krishna's attraction for them, or their attraction for Krishna, and the attraction of Krishna's flute. They came to meet Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan. I'm sure you have read this in Srimad Bhagavatam or in Krishna book, and how Krishna actually advised them that what they were doing was not right. Krishna told them that actually you shouldn't have done that. You all are young girls and you shouldn't have come to meet me in the dead of the night. and you should go back to your homes. But they had their reasons and arguments, and they told Krishna, look, in one hand you call us, and then when we come to you, then you tell us that what we have done is not actually right. It's quite unfair. And besides that, our attachment to you is so strong that compared to that attraction, everything else is totally insignificant. All other relationships are absolutely insignificant. So in this way, through this discussion, Krishna actually is instructing us or making us aware how intensely his pure devotees, the gopis, were attracted to him, or how a pure devotee feels about him. To a pure devotee, Krishna is the only object of love. Krishna is the only attraction, and everything else is insignificant. And whatever relationships there may be, they are simply based on Krishna. They are related to others with Krishna in the center. It's because of Krishna they have their relationship with others. Without Krishna, they don't really care for anything else or anybody else. The center of their attraction, the ultimate cause of their attraction, is Krishna and only Krishna. And then Krishna danced with these gopis, started to dance, and there were 16,108 gopis, and Krishna was dancing with them. He expanded himself in such a way that every gopi was thinking that Krishna was dancing only with her. Now, in a way we can see that that is not impossible for Krishna to expand himself in that way, because Krishna has expanded himself as the super soul in the heart of everyone. So Krishna is with everyone in any case. So what's so surprising about Krishna dancing with the 16,000 gopis, and each gopi is feeling that Krishna is dancing with her only? But when those who saw from a distance, they saw how Krishna was dancing. Like Krishna was, there were one Krishna dancing with one particular gopi in the center. And in the first circle, there were eight gopis, and Krishna was dancing with them. Then in the second circle, there were 100 gopis, and Krishna was dancing with all of them. And in this way, the circle expanded, and the number increased. And this way, there were 16,000 gopis. They were like a lotus. They were dancing like a, as if the, in the middle of the lotus, in the whirl of the lotus, are Radha Krishna, and then the first circle, 8 petals, in the second circle, 100 petals, and in this way, there were a lotus with 16,000 petals, and Krishna was dancing. And then all of a sudden, this particular gopi, who was very expert in her service to Krishna, whose name has not been mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam directly, but indirectly it has been, Sukadev Goswami was hesitating to mention the name of this particular gopi with whom one Krishna was dancing alone in the center. And that gopi has been described as Anaya Radhita, one who is very, very expert, who is the most expert in Aradhana. Aradhana means worship, devotional service. And that's why she is Radha. His Anaya Radhita. His service to Krishna is unique, incomparable. Therefore, she is Anaya Radhita or Radha. And at one point, this particular gopi, she left the Rasa Mandali. She became, she developed her loving anger with Krishna, towards Krishna, and she left. And when she left, Krishna left the Rasa Mandali, Krishna left the 16,000 gopis behind and went to search for him, a search for her. So, this particular gopi must be very, very special. In this way we can see, although some people say, less informed people say, that Radharani's name hasn't been mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, they actually do not understand. Radharani's name has been mentioned indirectly. Radha literally means one who is unique in her service to Krishna, whose worship to Krishna, whose worship for Krishna is unique. Therefore, whose Aradhana is unique. Therefore, she is Radha. And she is very special towards, special for Krishna. And so special that when she left the Rasa Mandali, Krishna left the Rasa Mandali, Krishna left all the 16,000 gopis behind and went after him, after her. This was the point that Ramananda Roy also mentioned during his discussion with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, indicating the supreme position of Srimati Radharani as the greatest devotee of Krishna. That when she left, Krishna left all 16,000 gopis and went after her. So Krishna went, left the Rasa Mandali and went with Radharani. And at some point, Krishna left Radharani also and disappeared. And the gopis searching for Krishna, they found Srimati Radharani. And they all were searching Krishna, searching for Krishna together. And then they came to the bank of the river, Jamuna. And standing there on the bank of Jamuna, they were expressing their intense feeling of separation for Krishna. And that is this 31st chapter, the Gopi Gita. Now this particular verse is actually saying, Tava katham ritam tapto jivanam kovibhir iritam kalma shapaham shravana mangalam srimadatatam bhubi grinanti ye bhuri dajana. That is, Tava katham ritam, O Krishna, the nectarian words about you and the nectarian words of you, Krishna Kathamritam, the words about Krishna and the words of Krishna are like nectar. And this nectar extinguishes the suffering, miserable forest fire of material existence. Tapto jivanam,
Tapto means burning hot. We all are burning. The living entities are burning in this material nature. Everyone is burning as if in a forest fire. We are helplessly being tormented in this material nature, as if we are burning in a forest fire. But Krishna Katha Amrita, the nectarian words of Krishna, causes a torrential shower of nectar, which not only extinguishes the forest fire of material existence, but it enlivens us with an inconceivable joy, as if it drowns us, it submerges us in an ocean of ecstasy, about which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself said, Anandam Buddhi Bardhanam. When we accept this Krishna Katha, when we listen to Krishna's instruction, Krishna Katha, that Krishna himself spoke in Bhagavad Gita, and the words about Krishna that has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam and other such scriptures, they literally drowns us in an ocean of joy, in an ocean of ecstasy. So here we can see, like, in one hand we are burning in a forest fire of material existence, and Krishna Katha is causing an incessant shower of nectar. Amrita, the word Amrita means, although literally, it means nectar, but literal meaning of that word is amrita. A means, this prefix a negates, and mrita means death. So this is something that negates mortality. That is, it causes immortality. When one accepts Krishna consciousness, when one accepts Krishna's instructions in his life and molds his life according to Krishna's instructions, Krishna Katha, and becomes constantly engaged in hearing about the transcendental activities of Krishna, he immediately attains immortality. And this immortality also is synonymous to joy. Death is synonymous, or rather let's put it this way, if death is synonymous to suffering, then what is immortality synonymous to? Joy. So we become constantly engaged in an ocean of ecstasy, submerged in an ocean of ecstasy. And this ocean of ecstasy is not static, it is ecstatic. It is not limited, it is unlimited, in such a, in a way that it continuously keeps on increasing. Anandam buddhi bardhanam and pratipadam purna amrita ashwadanam. Purna amrita ashwadanam. It gives us a taste of complete and perfect experience of immortality. Tava kathamritam tapto jivanam and kobi bhir iritam. The kobi, kobi means the self-realized souls, the realized souls. Of course, in the mundane sense, kobi means a poet, but that is not the real understanding of this word, kobi. Who is a poet? In a spiritual context, a poet is he who understood the spiritual reality and able to describe it properly. So he is a poet. The true Kavi is a self-realized soul who is apt in describing the purpose and objective of surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means a preacher, a self-realized preacher. And who are the Kavis? The Adi Kavi is Brahma. Tene Brahmarida Adi Kavaye Muihanti Jatsurayaha. At the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma has been described as the Adi Kavi, the original Kavi. So Adi Kavi Brahma, Adi Kavaye. Narad is a Kavi. Lord Shiva is a Kavi. So these are the personalities who are described as Kavis. So who can speak about Krishna consciousness? Like Tava Kathamritam, Tava Kathamritam, nectarian words of Krishna is propagated and distributed by the self-realized pure devotees. Kobibhir iritam. Iritam means distributed, described, spoken by. Kobibhir iritam. And then what happens? Kalmashapaham. And when one hears this Krishna katha, then all the impurities of his heart is removed, dispelled. When we hear Krishna katha, our heart becomes purified from all its contaminations. Kalmashapaham. Apohanam means removed. All the impurities are removed from our heart just by hearing this Krishna katha. And Shravana Mangalam, just by hearing we receive supreme benedictions, Mangalam. Just by Shravanam. Now when we hear, our life becomes auspicious, Mangalam. It brings all auspiciousness. Just by hearing Krishna consciousness, Krishna katha, kathamritam, tava kathamritam, it brings all auspiciousness. Shravana mangalam and Srimad atatam, it bestows Shri. Shri means greatest good fortune. The real fortune is received when we hear Krishna katha. And bhubi grinanti, this is the very important line actually. Bhubi, bhu means earth planet. Bhu mandal. And bhubi means throughout the earth planet. Bhubi grinanti, ye, the one who distributes this Krishna consciousness throughout the earth planet, throughout the world, bhuri dajana, he is indeed the most munificent, most magnanimous personality. Do you see the link here? Like the gopis, as if the gopis are forecasting the arrival of Srila Prabhupada. Who will spread this movement throughout the world? And he is the most munificent. He is the most magnanimous personality. He is the giver of greatest benediction to this world. Now, there is another very wonderful incident related to this particular verse again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and went to Jagannath Puri after taking sannyas. And that is actually Sachi Mata's request. Sri Chaitanya, generally when one takes sannyas, after taking sannyas, he just leaves home and keeps on traveling from places of pilgrimage, one place of pilgrimage to another. He just keeps on traveling. But And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, would have done that. Just like his elder brother, Vishwarup. He left home and no one knew where he went. There was no information about him after that. But Sachi Mata requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to stay close by. This also is a very wonderful exchange. Nityananda Prabhu misled Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and brought him back to Shantipur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, wanted to go to Vrindavan. And he just ran for 3 days and three nights without stopping, without taking any food, without taking any rest. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just kept running, and his associates also were running with him. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas guru, Keshav Bharati, also was there. He also was with him and he was also running. And all of them, for 3 days and three nights, they just ran with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nityananda Prabhu knew the condition of the residents of Navadvip due to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sudden disappearance taking sannyas. He knew that they all were so heartbroken that they were going to die if they don't get to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Nityananda Prabhu therefore tricked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and brought him to Shantipur. Nityananda Prabhu told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Ganga was actually Jamuna, and he made him believe that place was Vrindavan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought that he arrived in Vrindavan and he jumped into the Ganga, and thinking that this was Jamuna. And in the meantime, Nityananda Prabhu informed Advaita Acharya to come with some dry cloth for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he got to know that, actually when he saw Advaita Acharya, he was very surprised. He said, "Advaita, how come you are here? How did you come to Vrindavan?" And Advaita Acharya admitted that Nityananda Prabhu told him to come with a boat and some dry clothes. And so then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized that it was not Vrindavan, it was the other side of Shantipur. And this was not Jamuna, it was actually Ganga. He was very upset and he started to blast Nityananda Prabhu, saying that, "Why did you lie to me? You told me that this is Vrindavan, this is Jamuna." Then Nityananda Prabhu had his argument. He said, "Look, I never lied. Because wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. So you are here, so this is Vrindavan. And you are saying that I brought you to Ganga, but actually after Ganga and Jamuna merged in Prayag, the Jamuna is flowing on the left hand side of the river and Ganga is flowing on the right hand side. So since you are on the left hand side of the river bank, you are actually in Jamuna." Now the news reached Navadvip that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Shantipur, and all the residents of Navadvip came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They all were completely heartbroken. Not only those who are very attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even those who are apparently offensive to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Some of the Brahmanas were apparently offensive to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And sometimes some even complained about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even they started telling that it was so wonderful that he used to cause all kinds of disturbance to us, and he used to be so naughty, and he used to make fun of us and cause so much distress. let that Nimai come back again. So in this way, everyone in Navadvip were attached to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they all became completely heartbroken after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. So when they got to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Shantipur in the house of Advaita Acharya, they all ran to meet him. And it has been described that Navadvip became empty. Everyone left. Only one person didn't go. That was Vishnupriya Devi. Because it is because a wife is not supposed to meet the husband after taking sannyas. Or husband is not supposed to see his wife after taking sannyas. So that's why Vishnupriya Devi stayed back. The entire Navadvip came to Shantipur to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he met his mother, Sachimata, at that time she was about 64 years old. And he was the only shelter. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the only shelter. He was the only male member in the family. The only Sachimata, Vishnupriya Devi and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just three of them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the only male person to take care of them. But leaving his 64-year-old mother and young wife who was not even 16 at that time. Vishnupriya Devi was not even 16. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left home. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw his mother, he felt deep repentance and remorse. And he told his mother that I made a mistake by taking sannyas. I don't know what happened to me. I don't know why I acted so whimsically. I didn't consider you. And I was your only shelter and I left home. I never concerned. I didn't even consider what would happen to you. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sachimata, I'll give up my sannyas and I'll stay with you. He said, I made a mistake by taking sannyas, I'll give up my sannyas. Go back home and I'll stay with you and take care of you. Sachimata, as an ideal mother, he said, no, don't do that. Because if you do that, then you'll become a laughing stock. Everybody will laugh at you, saying that, look, he took sannyas and he gave up his sannyas. So, Sachimata, in this way, fixed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his sannyas order, helped him to become fixed up, and told him that only thing is that you stay nearby so that at least I can get to hear about you, get to know about your whereabouts. And that's the time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to Jagannath Puri. Because from Jagannath Puri, people come to Bengal to take bath in the Ganges. And from Bengal, people go to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Jagannath. And in this way, Sachimata will get informations about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is the reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to stay in Jagannath Puri. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri, gradually, people there got to know that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although, at the beginning, many of them did not accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One such person is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was a very prominent personality of that time. He was considered to be the greatest exponent of Vedanta philosophy. He is the personality who brought the Naya Shastra the scriptures of Naya from Mithila to Navadvip, and that's how Navadvip actually became the seat of the studying of Naya or logic. And he was the Sabha Pandit. He was the scholar, the most exalted scholar in the assembly of the king of Orissa, King Pratap Rudra. He was a very, very exalted personality. But unfortunately, he was an impersonalist at that time. So when he met with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very impressed. Actually, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri, he went there alone. Although Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar, Gopinath, Acharya and Mukunda were with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left them and went to Jagannath Puri alone. When they came to Atironala, a river about 12 kilometers from Jagannath Puri, Nityananda Prabhu broke Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's danda and threw it in the river. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, and for a sannyasi, his danda is the most important thing. And that is his only possession, so to say. And Nityananda Prabhu broke the danda and threw it away. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very, very upset that you broke my danda and threw it away. Nityananda Prabhu's logic was that, oh Mr. Danda, who do you think you are? That my Lord will carry you? That my Lord, who I carry in my heart with all my ability and resources, with all my strength, now why should he carry you? Who are you? Who do you think you are? And saying that, Nityananda Prabhu broke the danda and threw it away. Now another reason behind breaking the danda is Nityananda Prabhu actually proved that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not take ekadanda sannyas. He actually took three danda sannyas. That's why he broke the danda. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very upset. He told Nityananda Prabhu that, do you think it's my sannyas is a joke? I was going to Vrindavan and you misled me and brought me to Navadvip, Shantipur, and now you broke my danda. What do you think my sannyas is? And saying that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I had enough of you, I'm leaving you, I'm just going alone. Saying that, Mahaprabhu ran towards Jagannath temple. But when he came to Jagannath temple and had the darshan of Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fainted. And at that time Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there. Actually the guards of Lord Jagannath, they are called Podichas. They thought that he was a madman causing some disturbance in the temple. First he wanted to run into the altar to touch Lord Jagannath, embrace Lord Jagannath. They stopped him, they were about to beat him, and now he fainted, so they are about to beat him with a stick in their hands, in the canes. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya stopped them. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw that this young sannyasi is actually displaying the highest ecstatic symptoms, which he read but never had any practical experience. The ecstasy has different symptoms. The inner ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, deep love for the Lord, gives rise to some external symptoms like trembling of the body, romancho kampashu tarango bhajo, trembling of the body, flowing of tears from the eyes, standing of hairs and sweating. And the one of the last symptoms is actually murcha, fainting. But this fainting also leads to mrittu. Mrittu means apparent death. It appears that the person is dead. And that is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared at that time. It appeared that he was dead. All the symptoms of his body stopped. And Sarvam Bhattacharya put some cotton wool in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's nose. And he saw that the cotton wool was moving, indicating that he was still breathing. Otherwise, his body was dead. So that's how Sarvam Bhattacharya could recognize that this personality is a devotee of the highest order. And he took him to his house. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's other followers, associates who were traveling with him, came to Jagannath temple, and upon inquiring got to know that yes, one young sannyasi came and he fainted, and Sarvam Bhattacharya took him to his house. So they went to Sarvam Bhattacharya's house and found that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was still unconscious. And then they started to chant the holy name of the Lord. And upon hearing the holy name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to his senses, external senses. And then Sarvam Bhattacharya kept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his house out of his deep affection for him. And one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates who came with him was Gopinath Acharya. And Gopinath Acharya was Sarvam Bhattacharya's brother-in-law. And Gopinath Acharya told Sarvam Bhattacharya that this personality is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared as a devotee. But Sarvam Bhattacharya could not accept that. He said that I admit that he is a very, very exalted personality. But God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I can't accept that. So in this way, initially, Sarvam Bhattacharya could not accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But eventually, he received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and recognized him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when he recognized him by the mercy of the Lord, then Sarvam Bhattacharya offered 100 prayers to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the first of those prayers is Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam Shikhartham Ekah Purushah Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Budhir Jastamaham Prapadde. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam Shikhartham Ekah Purushah Purana. The Purana Purush, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Primeval Lord, has appeared in order to teach his own devotional service. In order to teach devotion to himself, has appeared as a devotee. Nijobhok Vairagya Vidya, which is the science of renunciation. In order to teach the science of renunciation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has come as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kripam Budhi, who is an ocean of mercy, I surrender unto him. So in this way, Sarvam Bhattacharya recognized Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although at first he did not want to accept him as the Lord. Similarly, the king of Orissa, King Prataparudra, also could not accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as God. He had his difficulty. He said, well, how can I accept him as God? Like, undoubtedly he is a great personality, he is a very exalted personality. But how can I, but how, Supreme Personality of Godhead, I cannot accept Him. But King Prataparudra also eventually recognized Him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when he recognized Him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he wanted to meet Him. He wanted to have His darshan. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want to see a king, because he considered that seeing the face of a king, seeing the face of such a materialistic person, is not befitting a sannyasi. A sannyasi should not have anything to do with materialistic people, especially worldly people like a king. And he refused to give him his darshan. King Prataparudra tried in various ways. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Roy, Sikhi Mahiti, Kashi Mishra, they all were very close associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also very close to the king. And they, on behalf of the king, they appealed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to just give him his audience. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused. Then finally the king decided to become a sannyasi himself. He said, I'll give up my kingdom, I'll give up everything, I'll become a sannyasi myself. And then when this word was taken to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they appealed to him, please give him your darshan, otherwise he is going to leave home and become a sannyasi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so upset. He said, well, then you all stay with the king and I am leaving. And they all became very worried. He said, well, okay, then we are not going to force you to see him anymore. But then came the Ratha Jatra. During the Ratha Jatra time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in front of Lord Jagannath's chariot. Before that he saw that King Prataparudra was sweeping the street like an ordinary sweeper. Actually, for a in the Indian culture, in the Vedic culture those days, for a person to sweep the street was considered to be which is actually the occupation of a bhangi. What do you call them here? Of the lowest class of people, he is considered to be untouchable. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that King Prataparudra is rendering such a humble service to the Supreme Lord. He was impressed with that. Anyway, during the chariot festival, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in front of Jagannath's chariot. Then the chariot came to Balgandi, where the chariot stops for a while. And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking rest under a tree in the adjacent garden. And there King Prataparudra came, dressed as an ordinary villager. Disguised as an ordinary villager, he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and started to massage his feet. And while massaging his feet, he started to sing these verses from the 31st chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Gopi Gita. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this 9th verse, Tava Kathamritam, King Prataparudra was reciting this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jumped up and he embraced King Prataparudra, saying, Bhurida, Bhurida. Indeed, the personality who spreads Krishna consciousness all over the world, he is the most wonderful giver. He is the most munificent personality. He is the greatest benefactor of mankind. Now here we can see why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so excited about this verse. King Prataparudra recited the verse because his mood was that you have come to distribute Krishna consciousness and deliver the whole world. But will this Pratap Rudra be excluded from this merciful mission of yours? You have come to deliver the whole world, but you won't deliver King Pratap Rudra. With that mood he was saying, Tava Kathamritam, you are the greatest benefactor, you are the most munificent personality. Won't you bestow your mercy upon me? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became excited. Obviously not because King Pratap Rudra was saying that you are the Bhurida. You are the most munificent personality. You are the greatest benefactor. So this way we can see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responded in this way because he considered that yes, indeed, in future a personality will come who will distribute Krishna consciousness all over the world. Now, who is that personality? Srila Prabhupada ki? Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki? Savior of the three worlds Srila Prabhupada ki? So that's why this particular song is very, very special to us, because this particular verse, Tava Kathamritam, is actually forecasting Srila Prabhupada's glory to this world. The gopis have chanted Srila Prabhupada's glory 5,000 years ago, and 500 years ago, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved of this statement that indeed a personality will come who will spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And he is the most munificent personality because he will distribute Krishna consciousness in such dimension. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question or comment? Do you invite questions? Yeah? Okay. Yes. Do you have a mic? When you get back?
Hare.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
You are speaking in the class about the such a high standard of gopis. In the beginning you spoke about what a high standard of surrender they have shown. Not at all thinking of anything about themselves, but only give pleasure to Krishna. And then you spoke about Prabhupada also, how he preached the full. Now I just wanted to know that when this is what our Gaudiya Sampradaya wants to give us, the topmost platform of love. Such a topmost surrender, which the Gaudiya Sampradaya, which Prabhupada wants to give us. On one side, we have been given such a high standard. On the other side, when we think about ourselves, we feel it that we are finding it difficult even to chant our rounds properly. We are finding it difficult to follow the principles properly. The time is too less for us to come to that level. In that circumstances, the goal is very high. And the pace is very slow. So in that circumstances, what should we do to see to it that we at least thinking of that level and realizing it is very high, but even to at least put into the heart and understand that this is such a high standard, how to have that thing in our heart and at least relish that thing in, and really go for it in a very, very blissful life.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for such a wonderful question. Yes, that's the condition. That's the state of affairs. And that is, in a way, is a dichotomy. Mahaprabhu came to give the highest to those who are in the lowest. Like, we ourselves are most unqualified. We're most fallen. So we are hopeless.
Right? But the Supreme Personality of Godhead came with such a magnanimous mood, and he sent his very special devotee Srila Prabhupada to give us this most wonderful gift. And that is our good fortune, and that is the inconceivable gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this is the inconceivable good fortune that we have. Yogyota bichare kichu nahi pai, tomaro koruna shar. As far as qualification is concerned, we have none. We have to realize that. As far as qualification is concerned, we have none. But your mercy is what I am made of. Whatever I am today is simply due to your mercy. And in another way we can look at it, like look at our good fortune, is like just being born as the son of a rich man. You see, the son didn't do anything, right? The only qualification that he has is that he is born in that family, right? And just by being born in that family, he is a billionaire, right? As far as qualification is concerned, probably he has nothing, right? But just because he has taken birth in that family, he inherited the wealth of that family. And also, because he is born in that family, and because he is born in the family and he is a millionaire or a billionaire, that doesn't mean that right from his birth, he gets his billion. He has to grow up, right? And then only in due course of time, his father will give him his inheritance. Sometimes a rich man's son doesn't even get any money for his pocket money, right? The father doesn't want to give him any money so that he doesn't get spoiled. So he doesn't give him any money. So similarly, our condition is that somehow or other we have taken birth in this international society for Krishna consciousness. Right? That's our only good fortune. Somehow or other we have become connected to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is our good fortune. And because we have been born in this family, because we are included in this parampara, in this disciplic succession, we have received an inconceivable good fortune. And right now we may not have anything. Like spiritually we may not have any qualification. We may not, as you said, like we can't even chant our rounds properly. Right? But if we just stay on in this path, following the process that Srila Prabhupada gave, in due course of time we'll get our inheritance. That is Krishna Prem. All we have to do is just stay on in this path. In this respect, once Srila Prabhupada mentioned that everyone in ISKCON is a pure devotee. Can you imagine, like Prabhupada makes a bold, I mean, not only now, you know, maybe about 35 years ago, right? Prabhupada made a statement about 30 years ago. That everyone in ISKCON is a pure devotee. So, some devotees questioned. Srila Prabhupada, you are saying that everyone in ISKCON is a pure devotee? And Prabhupada said, yes. Then he said, even the new devotees who just joined, they are also pure devotees? Prabhupada said, yes. And he said, it's like the green mango and ripe mango. The mango may be green now, but if the mango stays in the tree, then it will become ripe in due course of time. So our only thing we have to do is just stay on in ISKCON. We may be ripe, we may be green today, but if we stay on in ISKCON, then someday we'll become ripe. Someday we'll become pure devotees.
That we have to stay on. But even if we are staying on, we don't see that there is any purification. Years and years are going by, we are chanting, we are associating, we are hearing, everything is going on, but the purification is not there.
You see, the spiritual purification doesn't mean that you will become aware how pure you have become. Spiritual purification actually signifies or indicates or makes you aware how much dirt is there to clean? So more we make advancement, the more we'll become aware of the dirt that is there that we have to clean. So it is not that we'll feel someday that, well, now I have become a pure devotee. Right? Rather, you consider, what is the sign of a pure devotee? You see, a neophyte devotee, let's consider, a neophyte devotee is the one who knows that Krishna is God and who thinks that he is the only devotee. Krishna is God and he is the only devotee. A second class devotee or Madhyamadhikari devotee is one who begins to recognize the devotees. One who recognizes the devotees, he is a Madhyamadhikari. That Ishware tadodhineshu balisheshu disatsucha prema maitri kripa upekha jakaroti samadhyami. He recognizes that Krishna is God and he recognizes Krishna's devotees. He recognizes who is innocent and who is offender, and he reacts accordingly. Most important out of this is recognizing the devotees. But Uttamadhikari is one who thinks that everybody else has become a devotee, only he himself couldn't become a devotee. So now you tell me, what actually happens when one makes spiritual advancement in real sense? The more he makes advancement, more he recognizes how much he himself is lacking. He sees that the whole world has become devotees, only he himself couldn't become a devotee. Like Prabodhananda Saraswati is saying, Banchitoshmi, Banchitoshmi, Banchitoshmi na sangsaya, Vishwagoura rashe magnam, sparsham api mang na bhavet. That I have been deprived, I have been deprived, I have been deprived. The whole world has been inundated with the love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only I couldn't even get a touch of it. I couldn't even touch that inundation that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought to this world. So, the point is, the more we make spiritual advancement, the more we will become aware how much we are lacking. So, to become a pure devotee or becoming pure doesn't mean that now we will feel that, well, okay, now I have achieved the goal and now I can relax, right? Now I have become a pure devotee. No. The more pure we become, we will feel how impure we are. And another point has been made in this respect. You see, we are approaching the absolute. Right? We are minute, we are approaching the absolute. So the more we approach the absolute, what will happen? The closer we come to the absolute, in relation to the absolute, we will see how insignificant, how minute we are. Isn't it? More and more, we will become aware of our minuteness as we come close to the absolute. So that is what's going to happen. So, the sign that, you know, like, that you are, as you are saying, that I didn't even develop any taste for the holy name, and etc., etc. I will say that's a very good sign. You are making advancement. Thank you. Yes.
Maharaj, sometimes you said that when you're making advancement, we feel that we are not making advancement. We know very well the mind is very tricky, and sometimes when we actually are face to face with the anarthas, they're actually there. But because we have heard this from you, we feel that actually it is not there, but I am feeling it is there, so I am making advancement. But actually we are not making advancement. So, you know, sometimes the mind tricks us, the apparent anarthas which are actually there, we feel that actually we are advanced because we have seen the anarthas.
Well, you may say that, but the thing is, but the reality is, like, we do become aware of it. Say for example, what are the anarthas?
The one kind of anarthas are the six kind of impurities or impediments: lust, greed, anger, illusion, envy, pride. Right? And don't we become aware how much lust is still there? And don't we feel that, although I am very expertly fooling the whole world, but I know what's going on in my heart. What a wretch I am. So that is how we actually detect. We see that how envious this heart is. How much we desire for distinction, adoration and profit. How intolerant we are about other spiritual progress. Our heart shrinks to see that others are being glorified and no one is actually glorifying me. Now don't we notice that? So these are the things that we have to become more and more aware of. We have to go deep within ourselves and see what is the real state of our heart. And work on it and pray to Krishna that, well, Krishna, I do not really know how to get rid of all these anarthas, but you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are all powerful Supreme Lord, and I am your surrendered soul, so please help me get rid of them. Because as long as the anarthas are there, the heart will not be able to experience the joy of Krishna consciousness. So if we really want to experience the joy of Krishna consciousness, we have to purify our hearts of our anarthas. Right? So it is a practical consideration and practical application of purification. There is a written question here. Maharaj, as you said that gopis had sung the glories of Srila Prabhupada, so Prabhupada had ever showed or discussed his real identity to any of his disciples or devotees? No, Prabhupada did not. But when somebody asked Prabhupada what was his spiritual identity, Prabhupada said, "If I tell you, you will faint." So the point is, we are not really qualified as yet to recognize Srila Prabhupada's exalted spiritual position, his spiritual identity. But someday, if we become purified, yes, then we will see who Srila Prabhupada is. It's only a matter of becoming purified. So when we become pure devotees, when our hearts become completely purified from its contamination, then with our spiritual senses, we'll see the spiritual identity of Srila Prabhupada. And won't that be the best time to recognize Srila Prabhupada's spiritual identity? Otherwise, if we hear, what do we understand? Like, even, say, when we hear that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is a Manjari, Bhakti Vinod Thakur is a Manjari, does it really make any... do you really understand what it means? What it means? No. And we won't understand it until and unless we become completely purified from all our material contamination. So let's wait till we become pure devotees. And Prabhupada's spiritual identity will be revealed. That's why Prabhupada didn't disclose his spiritual identity. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Can have a little kirtan.